If you travel, you know when it comes to love.
See you soon.
Can't wait.
The sky is no limit. You know with your Delta Amex card, being oceans apart means meeting in Aruba. And booking a war travel with your card means saving 15% on Delta flights. You know kissing under the bridge of sighs guarantees eternal love. Because you're the long-distance lovebirds. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Take off 15 discount not applicable to partner operated flights or taxes and fees. Terms apply. Visit go.amex/you know.
Welcome to the 49ers Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com. Introducing your host, San Francisco 49ers Insider, Matt Mayoko.
All right, this is the 49ers Insider Podcast brought to you by Big O Tires. And my guest this week is Super Agent Lee Steinberg. Lee, we're right around draft time. What do you think about as an agent when you get this close to the NFL draft?
So we have three top prospects. One is a running back from Memphis, Darrell Henderson. The second is a wide receiver, David Sills, who you might remember was that player that signed a letter of intent when he was 13 to SC at another position.
That was a Lane Kiffin find?
Yes, it was. And then Marvell Tell. So what you're trying to have happen is a love affair between an individual player and an individual team. It's not the front page of the Chronicle's draft prognostication. It's individual teams having such passion for individual player that they'll pluck him off the board, maybe much higher than anyone else would. And so that's what we're tracking at this point. Are there any lingering questions in terms of health or character? Are the tests that the player ran, the testables, the best that they could do? So right now we're in the phase where players are visiting team franchises. They can't work out at those franchises, but they can talk to them. And so that's the very last part of the process. And then that'll cut off soon, and people will be assembling the draft boards. Teams will talk honestly to us, and so it's not a puzzlement as to which teams are interested in the players. How it works out is just a function of what individual teams do with other players. But as long as I don't cross-fertilize that information so that the Raiders now know what the 49ers are telling us, as long as we don't do that, teams are pretty open. So we're not usually surprised on draft night.
That seems like it'd be a very difficult thing for a player agent to do, is if the 49ers at number two are telling you, we like your client, then you go to the Raiders at number four and saying, hey, if you really want my client that bad, you might have to go to number one, as a for instance. So how do you stop, or how do you kind of refrain from not using information that you have about one team to harm another team, but in the end benefit your client?
So the example you gave, I think, is what actually happens, which is that in your hypothetical, the number two team would ask us how high you think we have to go. So we wouldn't specifically reference that the 49ers would take him. I wouldn't break their confidence that way. But we do get in discussions like that. So, for example, when Patrick Mahomes came out, there were a series of teams stacked up around the 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th pick, all of whom would take him. So if the Chiefs asked us what we thought, we would have said you probably need to go to 10, and to be safe, maybe 9, but to 10, so we'd have that discussion.
And let's go back a couple of years, of course, obviously, as you referenced, you represent Patrick Mahomes, the breakout star of the 2018 season, maybe not just in the NFL, in all of sports. How did you go about recruiting Patrick Mahomes to your agency?
So our philosophy is role modeling, and it's an athlete retracing roots to the high school, collegiate, professional community and setting up scholarship funds, charitable foundations. So first of all, you're looking for athletes that have a little more intelligence, a little more ambition, and a big heart. And if you can find that type of athlete, one of the first indicators is the family they grew up in. So in that case, Patrick Mahomes Sr. happened to be a major league pitcher for 10, 12 years. So we met with he and Patrick's mom, Randy, first, probably 5 or 6 times before we ever met Patrick. So they'll be the screeners. And it wasn't really necessary for me to talk to college players while they're still in college. I can't help them matriculate academically any better. I can't help them in their skill set on the field. So we're usually just talking to the parents. So there was a good fit there. We knew Patrick was gifted. You could see beyond the fact that he was playing in an air raid offense. And people got so cynical about the fact that the spread is the game played in college, and the quarterback's not taking the ball under center most of the time. That was true with Jared Goff. It was true with Mariota. It's been true over and over again, and yet that blinded people to the fact that they thought he was a gunslinger because their defense was so porous at Texas Tech that they had to score 50 points a game. So he was forced into throwing passes that just to try to make something happen. So you had to project beyond that. But it really was a values match with the family. They cared more about how I would help Patrick be a great role model and how I would help him in second career than they necessarily did for the rest of it. Obviously, I've represented some number of well over 100 quarterbacks, so we had that ability. And they were looking for someone who really could get into Patrick's heart and mind and understand what his true priorities were and not represent him generically but individually.
So now, I mean, we've talked about that unbelievable year he had, maybe not unbelievable to you, but, and then you see, you watch the Final Four, and there he's being shown, that kind of shows you kind of a crossover that he's had, not just, you know, translating what he did on the field in the NFL with the Kansas City Chiefs, but also, hey, this is a guy that basketball fans want to see, you know, rooting his team on. What does it take to get to that transcendent level, a level that you know very well from your times representing Steve Young, Troy Aikman, and many, many others?
It's necessary in a way to escape the narrow genre of hardcore sports fans, but it's very helpful that football today, the NFL, is America's passion. It's not only the most popular sport by 2-1, it's the most popular television show. So many weeks, 3 of the top 5 or 5 of the top 10 of the Nielsen nighttime rated shows are NFL football. And it means that this country is football besotted. So, and the quarterbacks are like the Mandarins because the whole game's televised. So he had so much build up because they were showing the games nationally televised. And then the fact that he did some freakish plays, you know, he threw left-handed, he threw a no-look pass, trended. But then it's crossover. So it's the fact that he was on Good Morning America, the fact that he was on Jimmy Fallon, the fact that you see him at a Laker game, you see him in a Knick game, you see him at baseball games. So he's ubiquitous in that sense. And so the crossover occurs where someone who's a sports fan now becomes a household name. And the key with him is he's now got a charitable foundation called 15 and the Mahomies, and he understands how to use that profile to make a positive difference. And it helps that he's a genuinely nice guy.
Are there parallels with Steve Young? You know, Steve Young had that appeal off the field. You and Steve appeared on, you know, TV shows, sitcoms or whatever during that time frame. But do you see, and not talking stylistically, but just how they approach their job, are there similarities that you can draw between Patrick Mahomes and Steve Young?
First of all, in terms of work ethic. So Patrick looks at it like there's 24 hours in a day, he can be spending 16 preparing for football. So what you see is the tip of the iceberg. What's behind it is the fact that he assiduously studies the playbook, that he's always practicing, that he's always working with the coach, with Andy Reid and his OC to get better. Steve Young was the same way. And they both were very bright, and they both put in tremendous amounts of time being a student of the game, which has helped Steve in his later career as an analyst. And they also love football. They have a passion for football. Patrick could have been a Major League Baseball pitcher or a shortstop, but he just fell in love with football. Steve Young was in love with football. And then they both have big, caring hearts, so that they both understood the power of role modeling. Steve with his Forever Young Foundation here in the Bay Area, and Patrick now with his new foundation, they use the spotlight to try to help others.
This week at participating Big O Tires, buy three tires, get one free on select in-stock sets of four tires with installation purchase. Visit BigOtires.com for offer details and additional weekly specials. Hurry, the buy three, get one free tire sale ends April 21st.
You talked about the error rate of Texas Tech, and you know, with your insight into what makes Cliff Kingsbury's offense run, your familiarity with the quarterback position, 49ers have the number two overall pick in this draft. What would you expect the Arizona Cardinals to do with number one?
Well, Cliff Kingsbury was pretty open in expressing how he thought Kyler Murray was a first pick in the draft. So it's really an assessment of, does he believe that Josh Rosen has the high side of Kyler Murray? And that Cliff is a quarterback himself and a quarterback expert. And it just seems like they're going to take Kyler Murray, which then gives him Josh Rosen, who, you know, just a year ago was a franchise quarterback in the making. Maybe he ends up getting traded to the Giants, or maybe he goes somewhere else. Or maybe it's all a smokescreen, because I believe Josh Rosen will be a talented quarterback in the NFL. So much of that, Matt, is a function of what the situation is in the first couple of years with the quarterback. We had the good fortune with Mahomes, similar to Philip Rivers and Aaron Rodgers and a number of players, where he got to sit for a year. And Josh Rosen didn't. Josh Rosen was stuck behind in a situation where he didn't have all the offensive tools or the offensive line. So what happens now is there's a premature rush to judgment. What used to be a process in developing and breeding a young quarterback that we would evaluate after 3 or 4 years now gets evaluated after 3 or 4 games. And it has a stultifying effect on the fact that it just takes time to read the field. And the scary thing about Mahomes is he did this in his first year of starting. He will get better. I mean, he's got something called an eidetic memory, which means he can remember every play he was ever in, and he remembers the situation. So where he threw the pick last year, he threw 12 of them, he won't throw them this year.
As an agent, if you're involved in a situation like that where the number one pick might be used on a quarterback, and whether you're representing that quarterback or you're representing the quarterback who was taken a year before and might be pushed aside, is there any urgency on your part as an agent to kind of, what are you guys going to do, Arizona Cardinals, in this hypothetical? What can I do for my client? Can I gift wrap him somewhere else for a new start? What's your role through that process?
It would be very active, because if you were representing Josh Rosen, you would certainly want to know what they were doing, and you'd not want to sit and speculate. And I think they owe it to him to be honest with him. And so if they were going to take Murray, you'd be scouting around. Look, when you sit there on draft night and you hear people totally excited because they were the third pick in the draft, And you know they're going to a franchise that's not well run, that doesn't have great ownership, that doesn't have great front officer coaching. I'm less concerned with how high the player goes. You'd like him to be a first rounder, but how high he goes in the round than the franchise he goes to. So in Mahomes' case, Kansas City, stable ownership, a quarterback whisperer as a coach, a great front office, a great supporting cast. So I'm looking, if I'm representing a quarterback who might get traded for a franchise like that, and maybe not necessarily starting the first year. Maybe getting that year of tutelage, because if you're going to have a 15-year career, it really doesn't matter all that much. Now, the player would tell you, I want to start, but I'm saying in the long view, what you're looking for is a place where he can succeed over the long term, and certain franchises do that. We have all these restrictive mechanisms that are designed to create parity, but if there was parity with the reverse order in the draft and with the salary cap constraints and all the rest of it, why do the New England Patriots keep showing up year after year? It's the quality of the organization. It's the quality of the coaching. It's the ownership. The players go round and round.
Lee, you've been very upfront, you know, very honest about some of the demons and issues that you've worked through through your life, from the absolute top of the top when it comes to the player agent business to falling on some rough times. Where are you now? Obviously, Patrick Mahomes, that's a huge coup for you to identify that talent and then for him to really capitalize on his opportunity. But where are you in the game right now?
So right where I want to be, which is at our height, we had almost 90 players in the NFL and 60 baseball players and 17 basketball players. And
how many first round or number one overall draft picks?
Well, in football, 62 first round draft picks, and the very first pick in the first round in 8 different years. I don't want to have a practice at large again. I struggled with alcohol and lost my way in By 2010, I ended up going in sober living. I've been open about it because if someone's out there that's suffering or struggling, I want them to know there's help. There are 12-step programs and other things you can do. But that was 10 years ago. And since then, we've built a really great practice. We have the two starting running backs for the Green Bay Packers in Aaron Jones and Jamal Williams. We have great linebacker at who's almost at the Pro Bowl, and Jayon Brown. We have probably 25, 30 players. And I'll move into basketball, and I'll move into baseball. But I don't ever want to be that large again. I never intended in the first place to have a practice that was that big. But, you know, we had out of 90 players, 82 of them had been to the Pro Bowl. So what I really want to do is be a good father to my kids and maintain sobriety, but also to make a difference in the world. So athletes, because of their high profile, can trigger issues from domestic violence to bullying to racism to the environment and make an impact. And so the real contribution I think I make is to stimulate the best values in young people and then together to address societal issues and help people who can't help themselves.
Yeah, when I first got into this business covering the 49ers in 1995, I mean, basically when I would go down the list of players on the 49ers represented by agents, I mean, you had the who's who. And now you have one client on the 49ers. And what an interesting story Jeff Wilson is. Undrafted rookie a year ago from North Texas. Did a really good job with the team, stayed on the practice squad, waited for his opportunity, and really capitalized on it. Can you shed a little light on Jeff Wilson and, again, how you found him and what impresses you about that young man? And now, I mean, he's facing another uphill battle, but I mean, I guess he's probably defied odds all the way through.
Well, he has. At North Texas, he was a splendid running back, and you could project that going forward. And he's got incredible character and tenacity and resilience. And I think he'll fight his way into the starting lineup again with them, because he's that ball can move with him, and very steady. And it's just interesting. Football has a scouting system that's just not perfect. Part of the reason I felt sad about the AAF and its dissolution was the fact that it gave our Garrett Gilbert and Logan Woodside, two quarterbacks, their first actual chance to play. So what happens is, if you get drafted or you sign as a free agent with a team, you may not necessarily get very much play time at all. So you're just never seen. There's an interesting stat where, like, 60% of the players in the NFL or some huge figure never play a single down from scrimmage. They just play on special teams. So you never get a chance to see them. And in his case, practice squad gave him a chance to be seen, but injury then gave him a chance to play. And I think he'll do extremely well. So certainly there'll be a high level of competition, but at the end of the day, his determination, the fact he's, you know, he's going to be there and you know he's going to give peak performance, will be key for him.
All right. Well, Lee, hey, I appreciate your time. Congratulations on the practice and where it is today and your life and everything else. And I really appreciate you joining me on the 49ers Insider Podcast.
It's been my pleasure, Matt.
Well, that was Lee Steinberg on the 49ers Insider Podcast. I caught up with Lee over the weekend. He was holding a seminar helping young people with their careers in sports and sports management, and I was fortunate enough to be asked to participate in a panel discussion. So during a break in those proceedings, Lee and I ducked into a side room and did that podcast. And Lee is somebody that I've known for many years. So when I first started covering the 49ers, he was the most powerful agent in the game, and you know, he's fallen on some rough times, but he's rebuilding his career and his personal life, and has done that for now for about a decade. So it's good to see Lee Steinberg getting back in the game. And now I'm joined, as I am every week, by the number one draft pick in our world. It's Laura Britt.
Of podcasting.
That's
yes,
right.
The blue chipper. Podcasting. Maternity division. I am number one. Right,
maternity
now.
Division. So you know what our listeners remember quite some time ago, where you announced that you were expecting twins. Give us the update. How are you feeling?
Oh, it's anyone who has been pregnant or had a pregnant wife, I'm sure they remember it very vividly. It's the struggle is real. I will tell you that I've officially reached beached whale status.
Oh, jeez.
Also, status of Birkenstocks, the only things that will fit on my feet. So that's where I'm at. But just, you know, in the home stretch. So I'm excited. I can't wait to meet the little ones.
Oh, I'm excited too. I'm excited and thrilled, but not nearly as thrilled as you are, looking forward to not carrying two little people around in your tummy.
Yes, I will hand one to you. I'll hand one to my husband. I'll hand one to anyone who wants to help me carry them, really. It'll be great.
Hey, we're getting ready for the draft. It's next week.
I can't believe that. It's here.
It is here.
It's virtually here.
It's really close. And we talked a little bit last week about Nick Bosa. Since we talked about him last week, there's a little bit more of the story. Last week in a story in Sports Illustrated, he had mentioned that, you know, some of his political tweets, you know, he's very he had been very outspoken in his conservative views. And he said that he kind of dialed that back in the recent months because of the chance, and I think it's a very realistic chance, that he ends up with the 49ers. And just as fate would have it, The big blowout story that I'm doing on Nick Bosa will run Tuesday on NBC Sports Bay Area. Very long story with some videos that kind of detail his rise from youth football player all the way through Ohio State and the decision that he made, that he and his family made, to withdraw from school and get ready for the draft. So after that big setup, instead of asking you anything specific, just do you have any thoughts, any general thoughts on that story and what kind of impact it may or may not have on him?
Yeah, I actually have a lot of thoughts on it. You know, I think social media, quote unquote, scandals have, you know, gotten out of control, and this is not one. And I think that we need to start by saying that him going through and trying to make sure that people don't get offended, whether it's righteous or not, you know, is smart on his part as a business decision, because that's what people do now. They'll scrub through and try and find an opposing view to their own and be offended by it. And I think that, you know, obviously our country is very divided right now, and it's just a smart business decision for him. I don't think that him having gone through and doing that has any effect on any football team. As far as I'm aware, he has no controversial tweets in there. It was just simply him expressing his conservative views, which should be fine. We've gotten to a place now where it's, you know, we have a hard time as just people in general discussing politics without being able to see the other side. And I think it's beneficial for all of us to be able to stop for a second and listen to the other side, but that's just not where we're at. And I think that he took the opportunity to say, hey, some people might not like my views on this. And honestly, to me, it's sad. It's sad that he has to do that, because he has the right to his views, just like anyone has the right to their own views. It's just not the world that we live in at this current time. But I think from a football standpoint, he has a clean record. As far as I'm aware, I haven't gone through and scrubbed people's tweets, because who has time to do that? But I think he is a stand-up guy from everything I've heard. You know, we talked about it last week and the reception that he received when he went back to go see his teammates, and all of the coaches that you've talked to, all the teams that he's met with. There's not really anything that indicates some crazy philosophy that he has. It's just simply his political views. So, but that, you know, that is a touchy subject right now in our day and age.
Yeah. I mean, I think, I mean, my thought is that, you know, you and I could each share our political views. Roughly 50% of our listeners are going to say, that's right. You know, I love you even more now. The other 50% are going to say, oh, you know, I hate you even more now. And exactly. So the easiest way to avoid that is just simply to not really go there, unless you feel like you're doing a disservice to yourself by not expressing your views. If you feel like that's truly who you are, and you're willing to kind of take any negative reaction that would come from stepping outside of your lane, so to speak, and expressing your views. I mean, if you're willing to take that on, then I don't see anything wrong with that.
Yeah, I completely agree. So I think Nick Bosa's just, you know, trying to be a very easy guy to draft by everyone and trying to stay in the middle of the road and say, I just want to be a good football player, and I don't want people to focus on anything else. That's kind of what that decision by him says to me. And I think, you know, it's smart right now for him. He wants to make it in the NFL, and he wants no one to have to worry about other aspects of his life. So,
and before this became a real story, actually, you know, it was a story about a year ago, and maybe even further back than that, when Bosa started getting on the radars of people in the football world, and, you know, everybody kind of started seeing down the road he was going to be a high draft pick. So it's been out there for a while what his views were. And, you know, it's like I said, it's been controversial, but
in doing this story, you know, 99% of the legwork on this story was done before this became an issue once again. And the thing that really struck me was his upbringing and his early years in youth football, where you will see on our website some of his youth football team photos. And Nick Bosa was not sheltered from diversity. The family embraced diversity, that he could go in and play at a young age with people from all kinds of different backgrounds, different races, different socioeconomic situations. And the one thing that's consistent with everybody I talked to, again, of all races, is that Nick Bosa was really liked, you know, by his teammates, many of whom he's remained in contact with and still considers good friends. From his coaches, you know, one of his youth football coaches in the Miami area will be in the green room with him in Nashville, Tennessee. A coach that he had when he was 8 years old will be in the green room. So there's a lot of layers to this, and I hope people, if you get a chance, can read the story and watch the videos, and I think you're going to get a lot better understanding of where Nick Bosa is coming from. And if you have any questions about whether he can fit into an NFL locker room, to me, the answer is a resounding yes. He can fit in, and he will produce, and he will be a very popular teammate.
Yeah, and I think that's another important point, too, is in social media, people tend to jump all over something if it is an opposing view or whatnot, but you have to get to know the person behind that. And that's where I feel like we've lost a lot of that, is just sitting down and having great discussion with somebody that, you know, views things differently than you or has the same views as you. It's just getting to know the person and being able to have fun, intelligent discussion outside of, you know, these things that people just hurl at each other on social media. So I'm excited to read your profile. And leading up to the draft, you have all this excitement from these guys all over the country and from all different backgrounds and everywhere that are going to have their big moment. And that's what's so exciting about the NFL draft.
Yes. And the 49ers opened their offseason program on Monday. And basically the entire team was there. So it's the first time that the 2019 San Francisco 49ers got together. One guy who has been tendered as the franchise player, but who has not signed and did not appear on the first day of the offseason program, is Robbie Gould.
Yeah, did that surprise you at all?
No, I knew that he wasn't real thrilled about getting the franchise tag. And he would like to explore his opportunities. And frankly, Laura, the 49ers appear to be exploring their opportunities too. You know, last week, I reported that the team was interested in New England free agent kicker Steven Gostkowski. Turns out they were a lot more than just interested. They were bringing him in, and he was going to be visiting the 49ers. And then word got out that the 49ers were interested in him, and he never jumped on that plane.
The Patriots had something to say about that.
The New England Patriots said, hey, okay, now things are getting serious. We don't want to lose him, so they re-signed him. So the 49ers are certainly exploring all of their opportunities. They have some flexibility, of course, because they still have Robbie Gould locked up. But I'm sure that's something that, you know, they want Robbie Gould to be happy. But they also got to look out for themselves and realize that they have a really good kicker, and they're not just going to let him go for nothing when they have that ability to use the franchise tag. And that's exactly what they've done.
Yeah, and, you know, he's been a leader in the locker room because he's such a stand-up guy. He's a veteran in the league. I think people respect him and his opinion on football. And so that's probably a weird place to be in, because you want your veteran guys, you want your people that are respected in the locker room to be there during the off-season program, and things kind of just run smoothly. So we'll see. We'll have to see where it goes.
And we will be back next week to see where it goes as the 49ers and the rest of the NFL get ready for the NFL draft. The first round is Thursday, April 25th.
Well, we're going to have plenty to talk about next week, that's for sure, with the draft. And then the schedule will be out. So we're going to be able to break down who the 49ers are facing.
You've been listening to the 49ers Insider Podcast. If you haven't already, please visit Apple Podcasts or Google Play to subscribe. And please give us a rating and a review. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at NBCS Authentic. We'll be back next week with another great edition of the 49ers Insider Podcast. Thank you for listening.
The 49ers Insider Podcast on NBCSportsBayArea.com.
If you travel, you know how to pull off a perfect getaway. You know after you enroll with your Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card, you get up to $10 back monthly on U.S. rideshare purchases with select providers, like a car to the airport. You know which remote retreats have the best herbal baths and where the Wi-Fi password is rarely used because you're the escape artist. It's why you're a Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card member. If you travel, you know. Terms apply. Purchases must be on card. Visit go.amex/you know.